your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
Why do so many dogs die before their time? Actress and dog activist Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete by Badlands Ranch is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including premium protein-packed beef, nutrient-dense organ meat, heart-healthy salmon, gut-healthy vegetables, and several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And because high-heat cooking can add unhealthy things to your dog's food, Superfood Complete uses air drying, so it gets cooked low and slow. This means it has the convenience of kibble, but the health benefits of whole foods. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible benefits, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 right now to get up to 50% off your order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's badlandsranch.com/save50 today. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to the show. Feeling good with Duddy. That's me. Let's go. What is happening? We are back with what I believe is episode 30.
Oh, shit.
I believe so. If I'm wrong, you didn't hear that from me.
Yeah.
Feeling good with Duddy. And as always, I'm here with my brother and my co-host, Mr. Jake B.
Yeah. Hi, everybody.
And we have a very special guest today. But first, Jake, what's new?
What is new right now? Shit, episode 30, you're absolutely right.
I am, right?
Yeah, okay. We released the Jared episode, and this is absolutely episode 30, so that's brand new. I didn't even know that 10 seconds ago. I'm feeling good about that, and of course, we've got our merch store, so go there now. Get the pork snorkel pen while it still lasts. There's very few left. The Duddy B pen, you've got the Feeling Good with Duddy hoodie and the shirt and all that shit. It's at feelinggoodwithduddy.com. Other than that, man, I've been surfing, been skateboarding a little bit. We had a little skate gang reunion the other day, and oh yeah, and this Saturday I'm going to surf in a little Halloween surf down at Blackie's in Newport Beach, where everybody dresses up and runs out there in Halloween costumes, and I am going to have our camera guy Josh Sugi with me, so we're going to get some footage of that. Otherwise, Duddy, what's up?
Not much here, just home life, getting ready to leave back on this little fall run we're doing.
Dirty Heads are going back out.
Just a small run. I think it's like 7 shows in 8 days. So it's a quick one. But yeah, just kind of getting ready for that. And then, other than that, let's get into it.
Let's introduce our guest. Speaking of skate gang.
Yeah, we have a good friend here today, a local boy. We have professional skateboarder Omar Hassan.
Yeah.
I'm the Dirty 30 Club right here. 30th.
That's right.
30th episode. 30th all episode. Right.
That just hit me too, right when we were starting. I was like, oh shit, that's right. This is episode 30.
30, dude. That's heavy.
Well, thank you, man. I know you're a busy guy. Thanks for stopping in.
No, for sure. This is awesome.
Yeah, so Omar is friends with a good friend of ours, Brad. And, you know, he hit us up. He's like, hey, man, I'm good friends with Omar. Would you want him in? We're like, absolutely. So, yeah, we're very excited to have got this one going.
A skateboarder knows anything about skateboarding. Omar's been on the scene since like 87. When did you get,
I don't know. I'm 21, so.
He's 21, but it's a long ass 21.
Yeah, I'm 21, but I've been a pro for like 30 years.
30 years, nice. Omar Hassan's been a pro. And you know,
you got to start young.
You got to start young and you got to not quit. So he's a local boy, like Duddy said, surfing and skating in Costa Mesa. We grew up in Huntington Beach, like one city over. And Duddy and I look up to skateboarders, MMA fighters, like all that type of stuff. Like Duddy's a rock star, but our rock stars are skaters, surfers, MMA fighters, you know, sweet athletes and stuff like that. So we are always excited to have pro skaters on.
I think it all coincides.
Like, totally.
I feel like, especially you talk about Costa Mesa. When I was a kid, they had that venue, the Cuckoo's Nest in Costa Mesa, which is
show
one of the
venue?
Like. It was like one of the gnarliest punk rock. Vandals has a song about it, actually. It was some Cuckoo's Nest. Singing that. And the owner that owned that, actually, his son was Jesse Roach, who was a skater. He was like in some of the Powell videos in the back in the day and stuff. So, but like music and, you know, surfing, skateboarding. And now, I mean, the MMA is kind of a new thing. That's mm-hmm. kind of another thing that a lot of people are into. But like it kind of all coincides because it's not necessarily like a sport, and it's not like, you know, it's an individual thing that people are into, and it's kind of cool. Like music, especially in skateboarding, I always felt that, you know, I remember those old Devo videos back in the day, and they're skating the pool, and Devo's like playing on the top, and like, and then
if you're a skater, nowadays they're skateboarding everywhere, but I grew up in the 80s. You know, you were shredding in the 80s, Duddy. We all remember it. If you saw skateboarding anywhere on just normal media, you were like, what the fuck? Like Devo skateboards? Oh, that's my favorite band now.
Yep.
It was rare. So when you saw, even I remember there was like a Cheerios commercial where I think it was like Chet Thomas at the time, who was a local kid.
Random
did like a kickflip.
Wow.
Yeah, dude, did like a kickflip on a
it
half
was
bike.
Chet I'm
like,
Thomas.
Get me some Cheerios. My.
Yeah, yeah. McDonald's, he did a McDonald's commercial. But like... Yeah, nowadays it's crazy because if you flip on the TV, it's like everywhere. Every other commercial is like just someone skating by in some mm-hmm. fashion or form. But and then also the music that goes behind it. So it's like it all coincides. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Music and surfing and skateboarding are one thing. Surfers learn all their favorite bands from watching surf videos over and over again. Like I found out about Wu-Tang Clan because skateboard videos started playing Wu-Tang Clan in the 90s, you know, like, well, I would have never heard of them.
Yeah, that's interesting that we're talking about this because every part, a lot of people's good, like when you have your best part or people's, they remember the song more than almost the skating. If the song mm-hmm. goes to the skating, they remember both of those things. The problem people have now is getting the rights to the songs.
Oh, yeah.
Because back then you could just run whatever you wanted,
yeah,
you know, now it's
that?
like,
I it's never just, thought about that.
Yeah.
Huge songs are in old skate videos, and they didn't pay anyone for that shit.
I remember one of my favorite scenes. Like,
what the fuck?
It had like Aerosmith's freaking Dream On. What was that?
Oh,
Fight Fire with Fire,
that?
Like
that
Rodney Mullen or something. And it was just an amazing scene. And I remember I watched it so many fucking times.
You would be sued forever.
Yeah. Oh my God. I know that like Thrasher does this thing where they will get the song on the site. But then when it goes to the YouTube channel, it has to be a different song.
Yep.
So it's
freebie.
Like everyone kind of just, now that no one's actually buying material items like CDs and records, and the only way you can get it off of is like paying for it, it's just kind of fucked everything.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Oh, yeah. I never thought about it like that because before it would be like, hey, I heard this killer song. I guess I got to go down to fucking Sam Goody or whatever the record store and buy the CD. But nowadays you're like, oh, cool. There's the song. I don't know. You already have it. There it is.
I mean, or you got something like, you know, like I pay $10 for like Apple Music a month. And it's like, I could literally download endless albums.
Everything that's
I
ever
I can download
existed,
1,000
albums
in 1 month if I want $10. It's insane.
Wow. But every kid relates to a skater and their parts by their music as well. Like nowadays it's like, You hear a song, you hear a scene in a skate video, and then they're like, oh, what if I want to use that song? Oh, it's already been used by this guy. Oh, because totally. It's like, that's like the new thing too, because they're like, oh, sorry, this guy already used it. So it's like, you know, but, and yeah, it's really hard to get the rights to music nowadays, but some of it's like you said, the legendary skate videos were.
Yeah.
They had great soundtracks. Yeah. And you did. You heard a song, you went and looked it up, and you bought that album.
I'm thinking back to all these old skate videos now that I grew up with. I'm like, oh my God, they would have the Misfits. And I, you know, back then, now the Misfits, I see their shirts at like Forever 21. So someone's getting paid off that shit.
Right. For
sure. Now you'd be sued out the gates. But I remember like all the
Agent
Misfits,
Orange Agent, was like a huge one for skateboarding. Skate, you know what I mean? Like that was like, they kind of were made a niche off of that, those fans that skated and watched. And there were another ones that had a music video where they were like on the deck of the Combi, the original Upland Combi. And there's just like, I think Vision Skateboards used them in the video. And like, it's weird how little things like that matter because, you know, it's people really, it's like complements each other, you know?
Totally. It's funny because it's, you know, and when you said it, it's like, you know, skateboarding and surfing and music and all that like extreme. And they all go together very well, and it is. It's because if you're a professional skater or a professional surfer or you're a professional musician, you've definitely learned from other people or watching other people, but you got your own style. And it's like a thing that you kind of have to create your own style to become good at that. If you're out there skating exactly like someone else and doing the exact same tricks as someone else, that's, you know, that would get old. So you got to kind of learn from other people, but kind of create your own little style. It's like it's art. You know?
Skateboarding
really
is absolutely art.
Yeah. Every skateboarder has their own style.
And it's kind of retro.
For sure.
Because look, you guys are all riding the old boards too. So it goes full circle where you're like,
totally.
I want it to go. And you know what's funny is watching these kids, man, they all wear like Motorhead.
Yep.
And like Metallica and stuff like, and they like weren't even close to born in that generation. Yep. But it still kind of holds to this day when it comes to like quality music, you know?
And that's a weird, cool thing with surfing, and I think even maybe even more so skateboarding, or maybe exactly the same for both. It's like there's this always this weird and awesome respect for the past in surfing.
Totally,
for sure. It's like you're not saying it's not always like the generation right before me, like these guys were the best. But surfers and skaters, they always skip back, you know, 2-3 generations and have mad respect for the dudes from the 80s, the 70s.
They sell all these old, like, retro things, like pictures of, like, buttons doing, like, laybacks. And I've noticed that, like, all these people that don't even know who Buttons is or whatever, like, it got to a point where that's, like, one of the highest sold photographs is this one photo of Buttons, like, and all these people are putting it on their, like, walls. And
can you guys find that photo of Buttons? He's a surfer, afro. Type in, like, Buttons, surfer, layback. There should probably be a classic photo. And you're right, because kids today, it doesn't matter. You could be born 200 years from now,
I think.
And if you just see that Buttons thing, you're all, who the fuck? Because style never, ever dies.
He had his
ever.
Own style, and it was cool.
This Buttons, you just look at Buttons, and it's maximum style already, even if he's not even surfing, you already know. But
you know what, that's...
Bam, there's a, that's, you know, that's a turn anyway. That's a gouge right there.
But what they did is kind of, you know, even, like, everyone talks about the Dogtown stuff. Mm-hmm. These guys were before them, even when it came to like innovating, you know, surfing and skating is like all that's what skating came from.
That's what they wanted to look like right there, on the ground.
Yeah, they were pretty much, you know, inventing this as they went.
Let's do this then real quick. Let's just, because we got you here, let's quickly tell everybody when you started. And I wanted to kind of do a thing where while we're talking about your career, I also want to almost parallel it with skateboarding, because skateboarding was huge, and then it was dead, and then it was underground, and people's wheels were this big, and then it came back, and now it's fucking never dying.
Because
you've been there.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up here in Newport and Costa Mesa, and that's where Vision was, you know,
Vision
pumping
streetwear.
Stuff out. Vision skateboards, and they owned Sims at the time, Schmidt Sticks skateboards, and all that, and then I turned pro in 89, and it was still pretty, you know, there were still parks around and stuff. And then, you know what, what happened was a lot of the parks were getting sued. So they made it like, it was like kind of a liability to
just
have a skate park.
Kids getting hurt?
Yeah, people were just...
Yeah, kids today, there were skate parks like in the late 70s, early 80s, and they were more flow parks, like almost surfy. And like Omar's saying... And everyone was having fun, but then all of a sudden kids get hurt skate parks are like not worth it to be around anymore.
I used to always trip out and seeing all the old photos and stuff. And then there's that one episode of Chips Have you ever seen the
motorcycle cop?
No way. Do they go to a park? They go to a skate park and they're like, I'm just like a little kid. Like, whoa, can this we park. I don't know if you can find that, but.
Look up Chip's skate park.
Anyway, so that like actually was like when I was a kid, I was like, man, imagine if they still built that stuff today, you know?
Oh, I always used to see that. Remember those float parks?
Fuck, I want to do that so bad.
And it's like there are float
Now they're doing it no more.
Now
I can't do that no more.
One thing that's crazy, if you think about all the
maybe just old skate parks.
There you go.
Oh, you found it. Oh my god. For the listeners, if you go to YouTube, we're playing the skate park.
This is like one when I was a kid, I was like, whoa, like just they're fully like this. Watch this. It actually goes into nowhere, but the snake run goes into nothing, which is kind of sketchy.
So for anyone who doesn't know, Chips was a you know, we're older, dude. I just turned 40.
I wish they could see this right now.
They will.
Go to YouTube, you guys.
Chips was a show in the 80s where two highway patrol officers, like motorcycle, bike, you know, freeway officers, you know, one of them was just a good looking Latina fella with the big coif and the other guy, just a USA fucking white boy with the coif and the blue eyes. And they're just handing out fucking citations all over Southern Cal. And there's an episode where they go to an old school skate park. We're watching it right now, dude.
I seriously was hoping this was going to pop up because if it didn't, I was just going to sound like an idiot. But
no, dude.
It's actually on YouTube.
Oh my god!
You gotta check it out.
Oh, look, the best part is
he just looks like he skates every day.
this is full blown, just Brady Bunch style. Shirts unbuttoned down to the belly button. Everyone's got huge helmets on, and this is epic. Oh my god! This people still want to look like this right now, though, because this is kind of retro cool. Look at that skate park. You guys got to go to YouTube and watch this, and you will see how far skate parks have come. Holy jeez.
Damn.
Well, let's keep rolling.
Yeah, that's
so
good.
Yeah. So you're growing up when do you start skateboarding? How about that?
I started skating when I was about, you know, like really young. I'm talking like, you know, 5 maybe, you know. My older brother was like a huge influence to me. And then we used to get our boards at all the swap meets, like Orange County Swap Meet was like the spot back then because they actually sold legitimate product at the swap meets.
They had like new boards, like, hey, yeah, I'm a skateboard like, pop-up
just
shop.
Just like pop-up shops.
What type of boards? What eras? Is
I mean,
what are we
Alva
doing? Just
boards.
Alva, early 80s. Yeah. Same boards Duddy and I are rolling with.
I'd get on my knees and push around those. And then we started.
The knees. That was always.
It's funny how quick the boards just got super wide. And then, you know, by the time I really got into it and started skating, boards were super wide. I think one of my first boards was a Steve Caballero.
Dude.
Powell board.
Daddy had the cab.
That was my
Daddy
first one.
With the dragon.
Exactly.
And it was like
white
an orange.
With the dragon.
This was like a bright fluorescent orange board. But my older brother was really good at skating. And we grew up in Costa Mesa there. And I don't know if you've ever heard of Johnny Two Bags. He's one of the guitar players for Social Distortion now.
Okay.
So we were like all kind of, that was his generation of kids. And they were all into skating and punk rock and. And he just kind of turned me on to like what it was about. And I just emulated him because he was like my hero at the time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So then Upland Skate Park was still around at that time.
That was a famous Southern California park. Find Upland Skate Park if you guys can.
So I ended up going there and that was like, you know, an eye opener. Like, whoa, this is crazy, you know? And then I was probably 11, 12 maybe. And then by the time I was 13, I started kind of getting product from people. But I've been skating, you know, since like 5. So leading up to that, I started. And then it got to the point where transition kind of died. But we always built ramps and would skate. And then all the street skating started to come into play.
And now we're talking like 90s, early.
No, this is
late 80s?
This is like 90, about 88, 89.
So, even
before that, 87, I'm saying. So then, you know, when the street plants started coming in, it's funny because it used to be down in Huntington. It was like you were able to skate down there back then. And it would be like we all did break dancing. I don't know if you ever did break dancing.
No.
It was insane.
So all the skaters were break dancers?
No, well, it was like coincided back then because break dancing
was like. Are you talking
like
down like under the pier area?
No, yeah, back then. People
Huntington
bring their,
Pier?
Yeah,
I remember that. Cardboard people, slabs.
Yeah, bring your cardboard.
I can remember that. We were kids, but I remember.
And there were these people skating and that was like the fucking, the green, or the arcade was down there.
Right.
Oh, shit.
It's so random. And then Then Street Plants came in, and we'd actually make like a real circle, you know, because you'd make a circle when you're doing mm-hmm. breakdancing.
Yeah.
So then we'd do a circle and do like Street Plants, and we'd see how long they could like, stand on their arm.
The skateboard.
Then ho-hos, you know, you're doing ho-hos. Like, but so, you know, it was just kind of one of those things. And then that's just kind of what I grew up doing. And I always surfed because that was like accessible, and all my friends I grew up with, most of them surfed more than they skated. So mm-hmm. I just, you know, hung out with everyone, and then I became like the dude that was more passionate about skating. But all my friends that surf too, I'd get them to skate with me, and we'd all like build little ramps and just, you know, just little groms, just kooking out.
And then at what point do you sign with Vans, and that's pretty early on in your career.
Yeah,
you start getting a little more serious.
When I turned 13, Vision sent me to Europe to do this kind of like movie thing with a contest that was like a real, like a pro contest that was there. And I was amateur. I entered it as an amateur at the time. It was half pipe and street. Yeah. And I remember like going into that arena and being like, oh my God, like all these guys I saw in the magazines or whatever. And mm-hmm. then just kind of getting introduced to like a bigger stage.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it was my first time to Europe as well. So
and you're 13.
Yeah. So it was like,
holy shit.
I had a chaperone with me, this guy that did the, John Hogan, he did the team for Vision back then. And then, yeah, it just opened up my eyes to like, oh, this is like a whole scene, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? And it was like, there's, you know, that guy, you know, there's this guy, the guy, all the guys I looked up to, you know,
skateboarders in the all the way to the late 80s or something, or maybe it was even all the way through the whole 80s, skateboarders were actually fucking rock stars. You know, there
for
was
sure.
Tony Hawk, there was the PAL team, there was the Vision team, there was so many names. They were on TV, they were in big movies.
I think Tony Alva was like the first, took it to the level of being like kind of flamboyant and rock starish, you know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely.
And
the hair and the way he dressed.
And he was like, a lot of TV time back then, because it was, you know, it was like that right before the lull of it. But
and then you got into guys like, even, you know, Gator and Hosoi and all these flashy motherfuckers.
Yeah, Hosoi was the best, because anyone that's gonna run some pink spandex shorts out there.
Pull up the Hosoi picture.
And then you're like,
Jesus Christ,
right? Live. I remember we got a picture with him, I believe.
What's funny about he'd come and do the show anytime, the guys.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
I hang out with him all the time. But what's funny is you would look at the guy. Okay, one day he had short hair, right? And then mm-hmm. there was this contest, the Holiday Havoc. It was in Anaheim, one of the big, like, when skateboarding was starting to come back big again. And all of a sudden he had long hair. I was like, what the hell, dude? Like, the dude had hair and extensions.
No way.
He put hair extensions in.
Nice.
And then he's wearing like spandex. And I'm like, dude, this guy's like insane. And I, as much as you want to clown on that.
Dude, old Hosoi, get 80s Hosoi, Christ air.
And then as much as you'd want to clown on that, he would drop in and do a 10-foot air on a 9-foot ramp.
Oh yeah, Christian.
So you were like
a ledge.
I don't want to like this, but I actually love this.
I wish I fucking wore that shit. Yeah, damn it, but I can't.
And then, no, that's funny that you say that, because like Danny Way and all of us were kids. We're like, that's sick. And then there's like photos of like Danny and certain dudes wearing the spandex underneath their actual shorts.
Nice. They're like, brave enough,
they're like,
dude.
I can't run it all the way.
Spandex,
pull up a right in Christ air. You'll find Christian Hosoi doing huge spread out airs with long hair. That's a cool photo right there.
Yeah,
that's like some underground shit.
I didn't even know what hair extensions were until I saw him, and I'm like, what the hell is he doing? Like, he just showed up with hair all of a sudden.
Dude, that's what I'm talking about. You got to make your own style.
It's you know, and
right there, that first one on the left. Yeah.
There you go. Wow.
Yeah. You can't see the shorts so much.
Yeah. He would wear spandex. He would wear, and you know, skateboarding got crazy in the 80s, dude. It was just everything was, and then everyone started having shit hanging off of them too. There was a few guys that would, you know, Christian Hosoi. Another thing he'd do is tie the long sleeve button up around the waist just so you had more flair.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of guys would do that, and then skateboarding kind of just like it really died fucking quick. Like right at the end of the 80s. So nobody's doing half pipe anymore. Street starts happening, but street isn't all the way there yet. Like you said, it's guys doing.
You know what's funny is Mark Gonzalez is one of the, you know, biggest influences of ever. And he did a lot of his influencing right here in Costa Mesa, Newport, because he wrote for Vision at the time. So he kind of started that whole street style thing, taking it, because he was really good at Vert as well. But he's like, I'm not as good as Hassoy or these guys, but they can't ollie onto a bench and board slide. Mm-hmm. And he started learning how to like innovate on the streets. And he's like an artistic, very like kind of savvy, mentally like focused, kind of ahead of his time guy. So he just started doing all this weird shit on his skateboard. And I feel like he took that next level. And then right when it died, but his influence and that next generation, it was like kind of going through a transformation of like all the parks were gone because of liability. When I had to skate a ramp, it had to be in someone's backyard. You had to go, like, you had to have etiquette as well.
That was another thing. Yep. So as the skate parks go away, there's really nowhere for any kids to skate now. You know, it's one thing you watch a half pipe contest on TV, or you watch a sick skate contest at a park with the best pros on TV. You get fired up, but then you realize there's nowhere for me to go to even possibly try to skate the things that I'm watching my heroes skate. And then there goes skateboarding, right? It kind of starts going away. Kids don't want to go buy skateboards anymore because they have nowhere to go. And then street is born, where it's like, okay, you get your skateboard back out, kid. Now you can just go down to the local park, start ollieing up on park benches, and you can go outside, and the world is your skate park, and little underground street videos start coming out, and that's when
that's when you started seeing the whole, like, you can't skate here. Yeah, all the companies were like,
I was just going to say, there's that famous sticker, skateboarding is a crime.
Yep, skateboarding.
And that's where it came from, is because all the kids got on the street. But as much as people, like, you know, talk about that era, it was kind of sick because you had to be really into it. You weren't just a kook anymore that was into it because other people were into it. Mm-hmm. And it was like kind of it became like a little underground scene again.
Totally.
That was like, you know, you had to like really be into it to do it. And then all of a sudden, when street skating started getting crazy, and like a lot of these kids, some of the best skateboarders in the world, come out of like broken homes, absolutely, inner cities.
Yep.
Like that skateboarding brought them out of an environment that would have meant really, really bad. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these guys, some of these guys are kind of gnarly still to this day. Some of the best skateboarders are like, I mean, there's little kids that they would have been in gangs, or they would have been in jail selling drugs. Skateboarding brought them out of that like whole thing. And I feel like that's one thing that like been underlooked a lot, for especially in those times. That's what it kind of brought. Like street skating is anyone can grab a board and just jump out of your house and just jump on it and go skate, you know? And
yeah.
And it's everywhere, like universal. Like I've noticed in any other country, they have their sports. They have, like, in Australia, they don't have really necessarily baseball or football. We have all these sports. Skateboarding's international.
Everywhere.
It's everywhere. Like, in Brazil's a huge one.
Dude, like, Brazil is dominant. It's crazy. And Japan now? Jeez, you watch SLS, like, the you know, Street League, which is the highest level of street skateboarding competitions these days, and there's like four Japanese dudes now. Yeah. There's a bunch of Brazil. Yeah, it's everywhere. So, there's Italian dudes. They're from everywhere.
In Brazil, they don't have like a multiple sports because they have soccer, which is, they call it football. That's their biggest thing pretty much. And then second to that is surfing and skateboarding. And that's pretty much it for their, but that's a huge amount of people that are into it and doing it. So those guys are hungry. They're like, they don't do anything, and that's their way out. It's almost like on a broader scale of like getting them out of a shitty situation or a shitty environment. As soon as they start like elevating and escalating on a skateboard, then they bring it here and they become famous. They start getting paid. Like the amount of money that they're going to make being a professional skateboarder in America is five times what they would make if they just had a job in Brazil.
Probably
more than that. Yeah. You know? So yeah, it's like,
dude, it's insane.
It's like, that's the one thing that I look at. That's the positive of especially street skating and stuff. And that whole generation that came out of that is, you know, it's like, it's really brought a lot of people into like a world of joy and like shit that they would have never been able to be a part of. Yep. 'Cause you know, even for a while I was living in Santa Ana as a kid, and Santa Ana, there's gangs.
Absolutely,
you know,
yeah.
But all my little homies that I would, you know, because I went to Greenfield Elementary for a little bit, and all my homies that I would hang out with, they had brothers that were in gangs, or they would be like affiliated in some way, but we all had skateboarding in common. Mm-hmm. And then some of those guys would just like become really good at skateboarding. And then next thing you know, they would like come not go into that lifestyle that could have changed their life in a whole different way, you know?
It's just like boxing or something. You know, they say it takes these kids from the inner city.
For
it
sure.
gives them something. It's the same exact thing. Like, would you rather have, you know, you're just think of your son or your daughter. Would you rather have them grinding on a curb or whatever, breaking into a car? I mean, it's all excitement level. And when you have adrenaline and you're a kid, you just want to be excited and a little scared.
Let's get back to something, you know? Right?
Yeah.
My parents did not really support me in skateboarding. They thought it was just like, what are you doing? Like, why are you doing this? Like, get a job type thing, right?
Yeah.
Nowadays,
it's like, they're skateboard moms. They're at the park.
Like, it is a total 180 when it comes. They got their chairs, they got umbrellas, and they got their agents behind them. Like,
do a kickflip, Dylan.
Yeah. Back then was a little less support with the parental guidance, you know what I mean?
Oh.
And like, my parents were like super cool. My mom and dad were like, "Rad, do whatever you want." But they were like, "Okay, but it's time for you to actually get a job." I'm like, "No, this is good. Like, I'm doing this."
Skateboarding was not a career path.
So I got out of my house early.
Not a career
when I was like 16, I have to make this something out of this because my parents are like vibing me out of the house.
When is this?
When I was 16.
What year?
Like
90s?
Like 89. 89.
Okay, yeah. I want everyone to understand the era and go on your journey.
And then I ended up doing independent studies because of the fact that I was like traveling and doing stuff. But what most of the kids were doing independent studies because they were like fucking up, basically.
And what were you doing? Like traveling, doing contests and things?
Yeah, and just, you know, I had a couple sponsors that would like send me spots, and then I ended up just renting rooms from friends. And then after that, it just, you know, by the time I was 18 or so, it was just like, it became more like I was generating a living doing it better. Cool. You know what I mean?
Nice. I'm fucking giving me these. I'm getting signals from behind the board in there. And then everyone looked at me like, what the hell's Jake looking at? I'm looking at Mark. He's giving me hand signals, which I cannot read.
But yeah, no, the parental thing, like that was like a big thing back then, you know, like just getting vibed. Like,
oh yeah.
And I love my mom and dad. Nothing, no disrespect to, they just didn't, they didn't understand.
Where are your parents from? Are they from you?
My dad's Arabic.
Yeah.
And my mom's American.
So your dad's just, your mom could like, maybe, or right? Your dad's like, what the
skateboarding?
For you know what sure. I mean? My dad was like, dude, just get out of here.
No way.
So, but yeah, that's one thing that I've learned that's been like a huge change in the whole deal. Like parents are just, it's almost wild. You go to the Huntington Beach Van Skate Park these days.
Oh, dude.
And now with the Olympics coming in involved.
Oh, my God. And that's for surfing the same.
It's going to get gnarly. It's a complete 180 of what we're talking about.
If you would have brought your parents or your mom to the skate park with you, you'd have been like, what?
Or the skate spot?
Yeah, is that your mom?
Get out of here, mom.
Now you see mom down there filming, like, we got to get on Instagram.
Yeah.
Like,
Dustin, do you need some water?
Oh, yeah.
Mom's wearing checkered Vans. Dude, she knows the fucking drill, dude.
Doing ollie.
We had Kalani Robb on the show a few weeks back, and we had the same conversation about surfing. How that's just like, are you kidding me? That's not a career path when we grew up, but now there's surf moms. Like,
it's crazy.
And they're on the beach and their kid, they're making them do push-ups and feeding them fucking whatever steroids and get out there and shred. And now, like you just hit on it, surfing and skateboarding are going to be in the next Olympics. Yeah. So
2020,
that it's a full blown thing now. Yeah. Like it is a career path. What? You're skateboarding? Why? I'm going to be an Olympian.
No,
that's why I want to represent my country.
This is what's crazy. I went to China, and China this is like 4 years now, and they had no skateboarders. They, China's, you know, pretty gnarly communist country. Mm-hmm. So what they did once they heard it was in the Olympics is they formed an Olympic coach. They got about 90 kids, and their jobs were literally to learn how to skateboard for this Olympic thing.
Oh my God. You gotta be kidding. That's what the Olympics will do.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, God dang
and
it.
And they sucked. I feel bad, because China,
they're way behind. By now,
yeah. There might be a couple of them that are kind of getting it. But then Japan, on the other hand, just went ballistic.
God.
They're
Japan
like, all right, we're gonna do this Olympic thing. And they formed the team, and they've always been into skating. But yeah, that's going to be another crazy thing, is to see what countries. Now there's people like from America going, well, that's like me saying, well, I could do it for Arabia. Like, yeah. Just like trying to claim their city. Yeah. Like, it's like,
I can do a backside lip, so I guess I'm the fucking Russian ambassador.
Czechoslovakian.
Oh my God, that's so funny. No, so there's people that are going to be barely able to throw a board slide. I actually want to see that.
I can't wait. And some of them are getting paid by the governments to be, like, that's their job. Like, the government is funding them to go on tours, paying them to get to the Olympics. Like, it's becoming a thing. And it's funny to me, to be honest, it reminds me of, like, the only way I see it is, like, it's like the first X Games.
Yeah.
Really gnarly at first. Everyone, and no one knew what to expect. But then it still got back to now. It's like, okay, there's the X Games every year. But it's really just, people just start know who's good at skateboarding. And they want to see video parts. And they want to see.
It's weird,
So it's going to be interesting to see how much it changed for like a year or two. But I don't really feel like it's going to make. They need us more than we need them. And they want the youth demographic market. Totally. You know, so it's almost like you got to just play the game and do it. But
that
like,
is true.
That's my personal feeling.
No, that totally makes sense.
Because skateboarding is so international, like you said, every competition we're watching, it's already the best dudes from all over the world. So we're just really going to watch the same dudes.
Yeah,
unless you get the guys that somehow qualify from whereverville that it's they've like, been skating for 3 months, which I fucking can't wait to see.
Right.
And it'll be like seeing myself in the Olympics. I'm like, he can't do anything.
If it's a North Shore Rick Kane story, then I'll be stoked.
Oh, that would be one summer, they take out Nyjah just later.
Every game coming out of.
Who's going to be the fucking, well, what was the name of the dude that fucking trained him? Chandler.
He's going to need his own Chandler, dude.
And a turtle to just shape a perfect fucking
shroud.
I mean, you never know,
dude. That could be, that would make good TV, you know?
Oh,
like,
my God.
I would actually be rooting, absolutely. Yeah.
I will be rooting for the best skater from, you know, fucking whatever.
But what's crazy, you know, like even nowadays, like the street thing, the guys are a little older, and I've noticed they're going to have a park and it's kind of a new genre for organized skateboarding. Like, it's only been around not that long, the way they've organized this park contest thing.
It's a lot of transition, really.
Yeah. So what's weird is, like, those kids are so young. Like, the oldest, you're basically, if you're 25, you're, like, old. Like, some of the kids that are nowadays, that's how much it's progressed as far as, like, kids and the youth of it. It's going to be interesting because in every 4 years, there's going to be a new changing of the guards. So this year, there's a couple guys, like one of my favorites is Pedro Barros. You know, he's like probably 24 now, and this is going to be his first Olympics. I feel like he's like one of the top, you know, dogs, but like it's so changing, you know, and it's like when I was growing up.
The Olympics. So weird to think.
Since it was there, since there
it's
wasn't,
so weird
yeah,
to think,
since there wasn't so
surfers.
Much, though, like there wasn't so much. Like spotlight and grind on it. I felt like the careers were longer because there wasn't so much to gain out of skating. You know what I mean? I feel like nowadays it's like it's ever changing and it's just like, you know,
I guess it's almost like kind of jujitsu. I'll link it into that.
Yeah, right.
Jujitsu was arm bars and rear naked chokes and some mounts and stuff. And then all of a sudden, when the world is aware of jujitsu, now it's you can't even. They'll take your finger and fucking you're in the next state over.
Right.
What the? So same with skateboarding.
Like Tito Ortiz was huge
Yeah.
And that was
not that long ago. And now there's like these kids that are just like way hungry.
Well,
you know?
I guess once the world, like you said, starts to watch and people start to realize, oh shit, I can make some good money doing that, then everyone starts to focus and figure out how they can become the best and then new moves and everything just starts to get way more technical. And
It's the Lonzo Ball mentality. That guy with his kids that play basketball. Goodness. He's just like, he's like, we got the best. Yeah. It's better than Jordan ever will be. And it's like,
we got skate dads like that now.
Sure. Totally. Yeah. Surfing.
Yep.
Skating.
It's gnarly.
It's all the same.
All right, Duddy, we're getting yelled at. Hit a sponsor break real quick, dude.
What?
Yeah, Mark is fucking losing his mind.
Dude.
Yeah, we just got told to do a segue from the back. Look at Mark.
You got to be fucking kidding me.
Duddy is pissed, dude.
Woo!
Duddy's pissed. Let him have it, Duddy.
Okay, so you know when there's that guy at the office who you just couldn't wait to get fired, and then he finally gets fired? Guess what? That will make you feel good.
Dude.
Yeah. So, speaking of feeling good, we have some sponsors on here that make us feel good. And
God
damn it, Mark. Koi CBD. We love this product. We talk about it all the time on this show. If you don't know about CBD, please check it out. It's great for, you know, any sort of joint pain or aches. They've got these amazing drops. I use them every single morning. They've also got some great creams and rubs that I might send you with because you just smashed your hip the other day. It's a great product. Check it out, koicbd.com. And if you put in code DUDDYB at checkout, you're going to get 20% off. That's right. And also, sticky vapes. That is right, sticky vapes. We're a huge fan of sticky vapes here. We actually made our own sticky vapes with the Dirty Heads and sticky vapes. And we made new ones for our new album. Three different flavors from three different songs on the album. We got the Sativa, which is the Lift Me Up. We got the Hybrid, which is the Cloud Lifter. And we got the Indica, which is the Supermoon. All three are delicious. And Jake, where do you use your sticky vape?
I use my sticky vape. What I like to do, okay, with my sticky vape is I get down and I do a one-handed power slide while stick vaping with the other hand. And then I blow out the vape toke as I'm launching the power slide, making it look like I've thrown some sort of vapey fucking splash out the back. That's just how I use it, Duddy. I don't know how you use yours.
I like it, man.
Don't pretend
that's
to
great.
Know.
I couldn't pull that off. So
no, neither can I. I made that whole shit up.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Sticky vapes. Great product. Great people. Check it out. Stickyvape.com. That's right. And also on it, another great product we love. They have so many great supplements and just so many great products. If you're someone, you know, trying to get in shape or just be healthy or whatever it is you're looking for, go to onnit.com, and that's with two N's, O-N-N-I-T, and check out all the just amazing products they have. I guarantee you're going to find something for you. But I personally have been using this one lately, and I love it, and it's their all-natural melatonin drops because – you know, when we're on the road and we're having shows, we're getting off stage late. We're running around stage. There's bright lights and loud music. And it's hard to go to sleep after that. And then you got to go do it again the whole next day. So I take a couple of those drops and I sleep like a baby.
Oh, you're going to take some on tour with you?
Of course.
Is it a bus tour with the Dirty Heads coming up?
Yeah.
It is. Yep. Yeah. You'll be melatonin. Just
I'll be
partying,
melatonin.
Dude. Attaboy.
So yeah, that's on it with two N's, O-N-N-I-T. And if you do /Duddy at the end of that, you're going to get 10% off. Woo!
Get on it.
There we go.
All right. So we've kind of talked about when you started 80s. We've talked about the skateboard boom. We've talked about the skateboard going away. And then, you know, the skateboards when we were kids, they were flat. There was no nose. There was not a lot of street tricks. Then the nose pops up. The wheels get tiny. Everyone's doing 360 flips. All these ugly flips that nowadays we watch the old videos and it's horrible. Dude, people's pants are huge.
Right.
The bigger the pants, the smaller the fucking wheels. And then all of a sudden, I just realized this. And then all of a sudden the pants got tight as hell and wheels got bigger.
Well, you know what the big pants came from?
No.
Raveware.
Oh yeah, because it was a rave shit. The same
time.
It was
genre of like you skated, and then a lot of skaters went to raves because
was it like Janko jeans?
Because they're just partying and
fresh jive.
Fresh jive.
Junko.
Oh, for fuck's
sake. So that was the trend at the time.
Grinding.
Right?
That was our buddy's company. Geez,
yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah, you're right. So can you guys pull up the 90s? Some 90s. What the fuck are these guys pulling up? Lingerie.
Pants, rave wear.
Lingerie. Great, Mark. Gee, what were you looking at while we're doing our show? Please pay attention. Okay, people weren't skateboarding in the rave jeans that they're pulling
right there. That's more of an MC Hammer look.
Yeah,
right there.
That's more of like
you guys. Somehow they have the Victoria's Secret catalog and then a bunch of MC Hammer pants pulling up right here.
But those little wheels were fucked. Remember, you hit anything. You hit a little pebble with those wheels and you went flying.
So here's what happened, dude. Everything is an overcompensation in the world of skateboarding until now, in the world of everything. But so in the 80s, wheels are huge. There's no nose. Everyone's flashy. Everything's big. And then it goes to like everyone's wearing really just plain clothes. It's just big baggy pants and like whatever, plain little shoes and a t-shirt, nothing flashy. The wheels get really small and everyone's doing tricks on the street, right? So they got to just, there's no style anymore. It's all about who can flip their board over the most. And then skateboard, you know, compensates back to style where everyone has to look good now. Everyone has to land their tricks perfectly or it doesn't count. And that's kind of where we are now in street skating, which I like.
Okay. You're skipping through one generation.
Era? Yeah, let's talk about it.
The skinny jeans.
Oh, right. Skinny jeans and the super big wheels.
It went from like
big
pants, like giant pants, to like kind of normal pants, to like this girl pants.
The tightest things ever.
They were like, I never really ran that program, but like for a minute there, it was like, that was the thing to do. Like, if you didn't have the skinny jean on, then you weren't like doing it.
My favorite thing, like the group of kids all wearing the skinny jeans, but they had the one kind of chubby friend that was trying to rock the skinny jeans too. On a fit, I was like, oh, you should wear
it. He had to wear like a bigger shirt to compensate the jean.
Totally.
Still landing a kickflip.
Still pulling
doing
it
that. Can barely bend over. And then also the music, right? So it's like, it's all kind of whatever. I guess it's 80s, you know, fun Oingo Boingo and a little bit of punky, like Red Hot Chili Peppers-y shit in the 80s with skateboarding. And then it's really hip hop in the
90s. The hieroglyphics.
Hieroglyphics
came out and they just SF heads, all those kids were just kind of changed it a lot with
It got real hip hop.
Everything got hip hop and skateboarding got like darker. It was 80s was just fluorescent colors in your fucking face and everyone doing huge airs. 90s, everything gets darker. You know, the 90s cameras, everything looks shitty and it's all hip hop. It's all like you want to look like you're in New York everywhere if you're skateboarding in the 90s. And then like Omar said, it goes away from the big pants and the hip hop and the dark New York alleyways, and it goes skinniest jeans you can wear, big ass wheels again, and right back to full blown punk rock.
Right.
You had to have a Misfit song or metal, right? It was like Iron Maiden came back.
Going fast.
Now we're talking like 2000 skateboarding where the wheels get bigger. You have to land your tricks clean. Like Duddy said, everyone's going
fast as fuck.
That was another thing in the 90s. The wheels got small and people were like barely rolling doing these tricks.
Because it was dude, I got to flip this 87 times. Yeah.
It was like manual padding.
Yeah. Yes.
There's a manual pad. You didn't really have to.
Have you seen we were watching the Manny Buster, the Wecking Ball? Have you seen this guy?
Yeah. Oh my God.
He's from Canada. You know,
is he?
Okay, those guys, all those dudes, right? That you're talking about, these guys from Canada that do dime clothing.
Okay.
I don't know if you ever heard of that. Look it up. It's awesome, man. These guys have such a cool thing going. They're kind of like have this little personality where they kind of make fun of everybody, but then they make fun of themselves as well. And it's like they're bringing more of like a Big Brother magazine back again, you know. I don't know if you remember Big Brother magazine.
Yeah. Big Brother was an old skateboard magazine for the listeners, and they would talk shit. Wasn't your like, but not, would not, be in Target.
Not as bad as Big Brother, but a similar kind of vibe, which is back. And that's what that guy kind of represents their whole thing. And he's always got an outfit on.
Oh, he's got some funny shit.
And he's just like, he's kind of gnarly too. You don't want to like.
Oh, he's buff.
Oh, he's buff as fuck.
Is buff as
he will fuck you up.
And he skates good.
He's pretty good skater too.
Yeah, dude.
Have you seen the one where he gets Danny Way
I didn't see it, but I just saw him last, like 2 weeks ago. They had this, it's called the Dime Challenge.
Oh.
And he was there and he was wearing a Gold's Gym shirt. And he's just like out there with his little outfit on. He was like, actually, I think it was like a Gold's Gym tank top.
Nice.
And he's just like, he runs it. You know what I mean? Like, so I guess funny. If you're going to run it and you're, it's almost like the Hosoi thing. Like,
you got to go full.
You just you can't hate on it. After a while, you just have to accept it, and then it becomes cool.
Dude, that's the thing. We've had this on our episode before, where we usually have like a word of the day and shit.
I don't know, dude.
We have just been talking to you and reminiscing, and we like forget even the shit we're supposed to do. But
this is great, though. Yeah,
it's great. I don't even care. We talked about just be yourself. It's like that. Just go be you as you're gonna be. And if people even hate on you for a while after a certain amount of time, if you continue being, as long as you're not a total piece of shit, keep being you, and people will just go, that's who this person is, dude. I'm going to love and respect them for that, because they are who they are. And
I feel nowadays it's more accepted than it used to be to like be different and be.
Yeah. Totally.
You know what I mean? Now it's opened up doors with all, just being weird is all right. Like, totally. It's okay.
Yeah.
Everyone's encouraged to be an individual nowadays.
Like, totally. So people think that we're weird. But when we look at other people, we're like, whoa, those guys look weird.
And everybody's
like,
fucking
they're
weird.
They're looking at us like, weird. Those guys look weird too. So it's like, whatever, all right.
Fucking weird. Everyone's weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, so but having, Omar here, and for the word of the day today, we're gonna have one. And
the
word of the day today is just fucking, it's balls. That's the word of the day today. You got to have balls in this world to make it. I mean, and especially, okay, you want to be a professional skateboarder or like ramp and just, you got to fucking have some balls. And with anything, okay, you want to wear something different and stand out and just run with it, then you're going to have to fucking have some balls, because some people are going to hate
on
you, but you just
got to
follow yourself.
Yep.
So whatever it is you're going to do in life, you don't have to be a professional skateboarder, but if you're just going to go out there and go after anything, you're going to have some fucking balls to just jump all the way in.
Absolutely. And being a pool skater, like Omar, that's what I'm saying. And transition skater, we actually haven't even gotten into how gnarly you are.
Wanted to get into is this right here. So speaking of having balls, and like I said,
I can't watch this.
Hauling ass. So here's this, what do they call this? The Hall of Meat?
Yeah, this is Omar, Hall of Meat.
Hall of Meat. So before we show you this video.
Well, this was at Universal Studios. It was called the Downtown Showdown. Vans used to do it. And they made this. It's this creature skateboards made this obstacle, and you're supposed to go through it. And as you go through it, there's someone riding on the other side, the top side of it. And you can't tell. You can see the guy running away. Well, what happened is when I was going through it, a guy went over the top of it and his board fell. So it'd be like being in the barrel and seeing a surfboard coming down on you.
I didn't even know that was exactly it. For the listeners too, go ahead and press play on this while he's explaining. So yeah, if you want to see this, go to our YouTube page, and Omar's explaining it as we watch the video.
I flinched up because it was a really small. See the guys running?
So Omar's going under a tunnel with ramps on each side, and someone's launching from one ramp to another over his head as he goes underneath at
and
a
the
million
board
miles
fell
an hour.
See, he's grabbing his board. And I explained it on this thing right here. As I'm going through, I'm seeing his board right there. So I flinched up to not hit him. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I can't even watch it because it's
so he's like down on the ground grabbing his board, and I'm going full speed through it, and he's still there. So I try to like flinch up a little bit to slow down, but at the same time it's like running through and hitting your head on the doorway.
Yeah, on the top of the door. So Omar is skating fast as fuck, going underneath these ramps and the ramps are over his head, and a dude's launching over his head. He kind of loses his board. So Omar flinches a bit, stands up a little too high, and catches the top of his head on the bottom of this ramp. And I mean, it just scalps you, dude.
Scalps
it is horrifying to listen to. I know. It's horrifying to think about. You can like your back goes.
All right.
Tingly.
Stop playing
that. If you
want to
get even more creeped out,
you know,
just
the hardest,
watch the video.
Cassidy's bar.
Yeah. we were talking about that earlier.
Straight to Cassidy's after that.
Yeah. One of the guys helping him out has a bar. Oh, I love that.
So anyways, you know what's crazy about that is there was such a panic.
So yeah, there's the photo.
And the guy that was the trainer guy that was there, he started panicking out. He was like, I'm losing blood. And then I was like, dude, like, I kind of like, for some reason, I didn't get knocked unconscious. I kind of wish I would, because then I would have. But I was kind of like, still awake, like looking, and then
like,
one of
my
friend Sam's, like one of the gnarliest guys I know, is like, he's a gnarly guy, right? And he comes up and he was one of the first people to look at me, and he looks at me, he's like, and the look on his face, I was like, this is not good. If Sam's scared right
yeah.
now, like, yeah, that's if one of the gnarliest guys yeah, that I know is like grimacing at me.
That's such a thing. Like, yeah, think of that when, you know, one of your gnarliest friends and you can't yeah. see the injury that
yeah,
you've just
you
got and your friend
it.
Looks at you and almost wants to throw up. Yeah, you're like, I don't care. I'm not sure I want to look at what's going on.
Okay.
Here.
Interesting story that came out of the, good out of this is I got put in the ambulance. They took me, they were panicking. They didn't know what to do. They took me to the wrong hospital. It was Hollywood Hospital, hospital in Hollywood. And then this guy once they took me out, the doctor came out and they're like, well, he needs a head trauma. You're at the wrong place, right? But the whole time I was in the ambulance, I could feel it like
flopping.
Yeah, it wasn't good. And so I was like, I looked at the guy in the eyes and I'm like, hey, man, just please, I don't want to get back in the ambulance. I'm not getting back in the ambulance. I'm not going to do it. Bring someone to me, do anything. I was like freaking out. And the guy's like, and then he finally was like, he's going to try to help me out.
Oh my God.
So then he went and they did all the scans for the internal stuff. And then the guy sat there, worked on me for 4.5 hours. It was like 160 stitches inside and like 43 staples outside. And then he was so proud of his work. Because he was all stoked after.
I'm really glad I helped you, man.
No, I was actually bonding with the guy yeah. while he was talking to me because they got me on some good drugs at that point. Yeah. So I was just like, this is great. And then he hit me up on social media like a year later and was like, hey, man, do you know who I am? I'm like, no. He's like, I'm the doctor or whatever. And then we became like friends through that.
Nice.
That's awesome.
But so like, on top of that, he was just like really proud of his work. And I was just stoked that I talked him into doing it. So out of everything, it sounds weird, but like the guy actually was, now we like talk to each other frequently.
I mean, he was a pretty important guy yeah, in your life, yeah. actually. You know?
And he has a daughter and I have a daughter. So we kind of bonded over like living.
Yeah.
Because yeah. like we know how much it means to survive and then mm-hmm. have, you know, your,
yeah.
your,
yeah,
your
I mean,
daughter
fuck,
and,
that
and
been
stuff.
Really
so
bad,
like
man.
That was kind of cool.
That is whew. Heavy.
So maybe
dude.
It was all meant
oh,
to be.
Oh, yeah, it is. I mean, look, and I think
his name's Spino Man on Instagram.
At Spino oh, Man.
Yeah, yeah.
Spino Hit man. Him up. Go ahead. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I heard the Omar story. Hey, great work, by yeah. the way, dude.
Hey, you know what's funny, though? Now he when I follow him on Instagram or whatever, and he always shows, he's always on the news giving stories because, like, Hollywood Hospital is no joke. Like, when I was in there were people coming in for gunshot wounds. Like, and there was, like, derelicts. Like, when I first came in there, he was like, okay, what kind of drugs are you on? I'm like, dude, I'm not on drugs. Like, I fell skating, but my shirt's all sweaty and my head's blasted and I'm still awake. He's like, yeah. Why are you, what kind of drugs are you on? You know, so.
Skateboarding?
Yeah, yeah. Like, I was just like, so yeah, it was an interesting situation, but.
Damn.
It happened.
Dude, so I think what Duddy was getting at with the balls thing is that didn't stop you even
nope.
a little bit.
No, you know what? To tell you the truth, we had this, I wrote for Ford back in the day and we did this marketing campaign on like Ford Tough and like dude I've had a lot of injuries. I got like 6 screws in my ankle. I got 3 pins in my elbow. I had an ACL surgery with like 2 screws in my knee, and then I've had this dislocated my shoulder. Like it you know, to be a professional skateboarder and actually be that guy and really go for it and try, like having a faint heart or being like weak is not part of the deal. So yeah. You know, it's like, especially nowadays, I grew up in an era where like wearing pads were not really the coolest, you know, like yeah. When I first started wearing pads was like, all right. And then got to the point where it was like, became, you're jumping
nerd.
Down a fucking 15 stair handrail without pads. Mm-hmm. You don't use pads for that. Pads aren't going to help. You know, yeah. There's no way you could have that situation. So.
And it's, yeah,
it's just
you
never
can't
changing.
Do it. It's like if you see someone doing that in a helmet on the street, you're
yeah.
almost like
yeah.
it's almost like cheating, and
yeah,
that's not
yeah.
even that's not even cool yeah. to skateboarders to put that pressure
and
on. Them,
you're
but
watching
it's true.
These videos and all these things of these skaters just fucking landing these amazing tricks and these huge airs. They didn't land those the first time they tried those.
Oh no!
You know you're
no.
you're falling a bunch to, yeah. to learn how to land these tricks. So you're just constantly
yeah.
eating shit.
Yeah, like if I had a highlight reel of my whole every injury of my life, it'd probably be pretty disgusting.
Let's play some Omar. Let's just spin some footage of Omar shredding some pools or something while we're talking here for the tubers. There we go. No sound though. Thanks, boys.
Yeah.
Great song. But, great song.
So I was thinking we get into maybe a band camp.
Do you have one?
What is it?
The band.
Okay. We didn't even tell you what it is.
Yeah. Every episode we got a segment called One Time at Band Camp, and it just gives you a chance to just tell a story from the time you started till now. Anything that stands out, funny or.
I told Duddy the head scalp should be the band camp. And he's all, no, he'll have plenty. Yeah. I'm like, well, fuck, you just told the gnarliest shit.
No, I was telling you the Gigi Allen story.
Oh, Gigi, that's amazing. Right. All right, let me play the drop for you.
Oh, and this one time at band camp?
So we went to the Powell Warehouse, which was in Santa Barbara at the time. And there was just that little Isla Vista town there where all the college kids go to. And there was a bunch of punker kids that just went to school there and had like a house, and they ended up all coming together and renting Gigi Allen for the day.
Tell the listeners what Gigi Allen is. Gigi Allen is
a musician that is more shock value than music. And he's known to like cut himself, shit on himself, throw shit at the crowd, get beat up, beat the crowd up. Like he's pretty much, it's like the essence of what punk rock is, which it's gnarlier than punk rock.
Yeah.
So I didn't even know who he was. I was 16 years old, and we're sitting there, and my friend Willie was like, yeah, we're going to go see Gigi Allen tonight. And they're all excited. Like, they're all super excited. And I'm like, oh, wow, they're fucking hyped. Like, whatever. Mm-hmm. I didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
So they take us, and it's just this little room that they fucking rented out. It was like a shitty little room. And he comes out. First of all, it starts to get packed. There's probably only 70 kids there. You know, it wasn't even a big venue or something. It was like a concert or anything, right? We're in this little room, and he comes in a little G-string. This big bald dude. He's, you know, and he just comes in, and he just is like, you could just feel the energy of like everyone's getting riled up, right? And then he's just like looking around, all crazy. Who knows what drugs the guy's probably on, right? And then all of a sudden, my friend Willie was like, just kind of stand behind me. And I'm just at that point, like, what did I get myself into?
What's about to happen?
That's Gigi.
I didn't know what was going
Google
on.
Google Gigi Allen after you watch after you listen
and then
to this.
All pull of up sudden, a photo of Gigi Allen. At least,
while Omar's talking. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he was just like kind of pacing around all crazy. And then all of a sudden, the music kind of it's just barely starts. And he just starts smashing the microphone on his head and splitting his head open.
Oh.
And then he starts taking the microphone and like putting it up his butt. And then he's like licking it like an ice cream cone.
Oh,
and
that's
then I'm like, what the hell? Like, what? And then all of a sudden it just started, the music started going. And then people just started charging him. He's just fighting and singing. And like my friend Ricky Barnes, at the one point, I remember he like, got behind him and ran, jumped behind his back and was like riding him, like Supermaning him on his back. And Gigi's trying to punch him off.
Dude,
it was like riding a bull. Like it was like out of like a like watching a bull riding contest.
It's a real thing. I mean, this guy exists, I think he's dead, right? I think I remember hearing that like several years ago.
He kept saying he was going to kill himself forever. That was his whole thing. And then he would like claim dates, and then that date wouldn't happen. And you're like, wait a minute. Like, and then he ended up overdosing.
Liar. Yes. And dude, there's plenty of videos of Gigi Allen. I'm not joking. Like everything Omar's saying is exactly dead on him. And he would like shit into his hand on stage, rub it around his whole body, and then jump into the crowd and just chase people out of the arena. Cops would come. He'd be covered in shit.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, it's just absolute nuts.
This is what happened at the end there. It started getting so crazy. He probably played about four songs at this point, and it was, like, getting too dangerous. Like, people were getting fucking catapulted around the room. And then there was this, like, really long bench on the ground. It was, like, a wooden bench. I'll never forget it. And somehow all of a sudden the thing gets up in the air and thrown around in the pit.
Oh.
And at that point it was like any man for themselves.
Yep. Yeah.
Like,
instead of a beach ball, it's a bench. It goes
flying through one of the windows.
Oh, perfect.
Of the place. And then all of a sudden the cops come about like 10 minutes later and they start funneling everyone out. And as they're funneling everyone out, you just see Gigi Allen in handcuffs.
Yeah.
Dude, this guy, and that was my introduction to who he was.
You're just like, I love this fucking guy.
But his songs, actually, he's got a couple songs that are like really entertaining and like good quality music. Mm-hmm. So it's crazy because like as much as a derelict as he was, it was a lot of show, but he does have a couple, you know, hit songs. They weren't like radio hits.
No, but they're like, they're known.
But and they're like pretty good, you know?
There's a weird documentary.
The Give Me Some
too.
Head song was pretty good.
Dude, it's a family song.
I remember hearing like his teacher or something in like some documentary. Dude was like, he was a polite kid. Or so, it was one of those things where it's like, no one saw this coming, dude. And then he just turned into a beast.
I got
dude.
An idea.
Oh, just an absolute nugget. That's a hell of a band camp.
Damn,
right,
that's a good one.
You know what's funny is a lot of the kids, we're talking about kids today. I see G.G. Allen shirts all the time still.
Oh, it's everywhere.
And I'm like, these kids have no idea. Like, it's now that he's gone, I guess they say you're a legend when you die. But he was like a living legend as well to us. But when he died, now he's like, you know, bigger than life. You go to Venice right now and get a shirt. On the beach in Venice.
I can't wait till, because you know how parents, they'll put, it's like you'll see a two-year-old with a Nirvana shirt, and you're like, the kid doesn't even, it's just a baby shark, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I can't wait till I see a two-year-old with a G.G. Allen.
Yes, that's coming up.
He doesn't listen, or she doesn't listen to G.G.
When my friends have newborns,
oh no,
I'm going to start buying them G.G. Allen newborns, because I guarantee you, most of my friends have no idea who the fuck G.G. Allen, they'll just be like, oh yeah, it's like an old school, like rock and roll guy, right?
That would actually be a good Halloween outfit. I think I might be G.G. Allen for Halloween.
Just
this year. I'm already bald.
Just a G-string?
So that's all I need is a G-string and a beard.
God.
A little goatee.
Rub some mud all over you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Some blood on your head, some poop on your chest.
Walk into a party. Oh, dude. That's actually the most.
Oh, that's genius.
I'm G.G. Allen. What?
And probably no one will ever know. No. There'll be one person at the party who's like, dude.
You can get away with anything.
Legend.
Like, it's your one night to just like.
Yeah.
Do anything you want.
Oh,
shit on that
God.
One guy that you always wanted to shit on.
Put a little bit of real shit in that mud. Just give out bro hugs.
Be hugging people.
Hey.
You might want to take a shower later.
For fuck's sake. So let's get into we're chatting, we're going. I wanted to know your opinion too. Skateboarding's taken another drastic turn. Like now it's fully back. It's on. Skateboarding, surfing, the whole culture that when we were kids was kind of an underground thing. It's a part of society everywhere on earth now. And now skateboarding has even gone from the video. Okay. So we kind of skipped over too. In the 80s, there was like team videos, but in the 90s and the 2000s, it was all about those skate videos. Every single skate team would have to drop their big video and you would wait for it. Cause it would be, you know, every skater on the team would have a part and you'd want to see your favorite skaters. It was so important to have this mega skate video. Now it's almost like the skate video thing is going away and it's all about just YouTube. You just drop your part on YouTube or little Instagram clips.
Perfect example.
Yeah.
Print magazine. Gone.
Gone.
The only like standing one is Thrasher magazine.
Yeah.
Transworld just quit last year because they're online fully now. But when we were kids, that was your Bible. It was like... Mm-hmm. Thrasher was like what you looked at. Then became videos, and then became YouTube, and now with social media. Yep. So it's crazy that now social media became, you know, you don't have to wait. Kid drops it right now. Someone's you can go online right now, and
right
just
now.
5 minutes ago, someone has done something gnarly, and then that's kind of what it's came down to. But it's kind of sad that print's gone because those are like iconic. That was like an iconic photo. Some of the, if you got a really good photo that everyone remembered, and then, you know, they came out monthly, so you had to wait till the next month.
Mm-hmm.
Now you just, every minute, it's just ever changing.
Well, I think it's just with everything now, it's like these kids and everyone really, because everything's so accessible and so quick. It's people's attention spans. No one wants to sit down and watch an hour and a half skate video.
No one wants to watch more than 15 seconds
on a
video.
They just
want to
watch a cool clip, you land it next.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, just...
And it's like you said too, we're not even watching pros half the time anymore. It's just someone in Iceland did some sick move off something and everyone shared it. And now I'm watching it. I don't know who the person, it's not even a bad thing. It's just
the changing of the way that, you know, people see things and perceive like, you know, whatever you're into. It could be anything. Yeah. There's an Insta handle for anything you're into
anything.
Out there.
Yeah. Someone just invented a new cookie and they just showed it off
online. Whoa, are you serious?
I mean, probably. Fucking sprinkled some Cheeto dust on top. I don't know, dude. Did I just invent one? Dude, that's where we're, that's why tricks are so gnarly. It's like, you see, you know, someone does a new trick. It's on Instagram that day. Yeah. Now half the planet's learned it and they've added a variation to it. Now that's on Instagram. Yes. Bing, we go from there.
Yeah. You know? It's just the world we're living in is so much, you know, it's
you gotta keep one up in each other.
It's progressive. And I mean, but that's why it really comes down to though. I feel like that's why some of the old stuff really holds a lot of weight. People might not realize now, but later in life, since they're seeing so much stuff, having that old footage and stuff meant so much. Because when we were kids, we didn't really have videotapes that much, video cameras. We always had pictures. Like for a lot of the early 80s pros, that's why that Dogtown documentary is so cool. It's because they had actual film behind it. So in my mind,
I see what you're saying. Yeah,
it's kind of good to see some of that older stuff for me, because it's like it's undocumented stuff. Only limited people had even the means to have it documented. Nowadays, anyone could just go out and, you know. So it some of that iconic stuff is still going to always kind of hold weight, I feel like.
The sparsity of it makes it legendary. I always say this: there will never be another Beatles, because when the Beatles blew up.
Yeah, right.
If you could go on Instagram back then, and I now follow John, Ringo, Paul. I know their girlfriend. Oh, they just went to Disneyland. Ding,
Paul,
ding.
Yeah.
No
Can I
excitement.
Propose to my wife on your next show?
Paul, will you fly out? So, but you know, back then it was just like, who are these aliens? All I saw was them walk off an airplane. They've landed in America. They've got weird haircuts. I won't see them again until they're on the Tonight Show.
Yeah.
And you just can't wait. And that's kind of what. That's what the magazines were of the 80s. You didn't know who won a skateboard competition until the magazine came out and the fucking ratings were same with surfing. Who won in Australia? I have no idea. I have to wait till Surfer Mag comes out and then somewhere in there it'll say who won. I mean, nowadays you're watching it live on your phone while driving
while
and eating.
It's happening.
While you're surfing. You know, so
that's the only difference really in what's going on today, you know. And to be honest, like, I think it's kind of cool that everyone has that platform to be able to be like, if you're doing something gnarly, you're doing something gnarly. Like, you know, it's like, dude, it speaks for itself in that way. But, you know, you can never take away from, like, the pioneering and the stuff from back in the day. That's why that stuff is so iconic. Like, we were talking about old bands. It could be anything that has that much impact at that time. It still holds just as much weight, you know?
And style was so important in the 80s because there wasn't a million tricks. It was really, everyone was doing the same tricks. You know, there was obviously innovation always going on, but everyone's just doing big airs. If we're talking about skateboarding specifically, backside or frontside, there started to be some spins and some finger flips, but the way you stood out was how you looked on your board. And, how, you know, 10 dudes doing a method air, but one of them's going to be like, oh, fuck. You know, and so that will never die. Like, style will always remain.
You know what kind of died, though, is being able to name a trick. Because I feel like that's been, like, the one thing that I'm like, we kind of missed that boat, that generation of, like, because people are naming tricks like Caballero has a trick after his own name, you know what I mean?
That's
what
they're saying. Now it's just 360 flip,
it's a variation. Blunt. It's a variation of a Caballero. But like back then, which is rad. I mean, the method air. You say the method air, and the reason that came is it was the way the method that the person did that, and I'm sure Neil Blender or someone like that. I'm not exactly sure, but like. They were able to like actually name these tricks, which
that's
is
cool.
kind of crazy to think about. Like
Smith,
the
grind,
bomb drop, Dwayne Peters, Costa Mesa legend, has so many acid drop. Mm-hmm. He's probably on acid when he dropped in.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there's like stories behind
like
this.
So.
I would probably think so. Yeah. I'll give it 99.9%.
Dude, yeah, he would have to name it the not acid drop. Yeah. It would be more because. But yeah, you're absolutely, I never even thought about that. Yeah. And a lot of times, dude, people are pretty cool in skateboarding where they don't name a lot of things after themselves. Like he could have named it the Peters launch,
well,
you know.
But Tony Hawk, this probably invented more tricks than anyone, and there's nothing named Hawk after it.
No. And even the new flips and stuff, it's like dolphin flip or laser, you know, they don't really name it after themselves.
That's, which is kind of bad on them a little bit.
Yeah, they could have been legends.
It could say like whatever. It's just I would name it right after my name.
Yeah, but Tony Hawk flop.
No shame in my game at all.
Like, Kevin flip.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess it is kind of cooler. Shit. When
it's... So it's kind of, and not only that, but everything's been done, such variations of it all. But
yeah, it's all very technical. I never even thought about that. In snowboarding, it's all just varial. To nose, like 360, to, it's all there, like math.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
You know, besides like lip slide.
I mean, there's
you know,
so many
cool
that,
shit.
That Neil Blender guy was iconic because, first of all, he's just got a really crazy personality. So he would come up with all the names to tricks, a lot of names of tricks. And it would just be kind of a joke name. And then he'd just apply it to like, oh, that's the manual because he's doing it so many times, which is just a wheelie out. It's a manual. He's got the manual on that.
That's
got,
what
he's
it
got
is.
It locked. He's got
that's
it on lock.
Manual.
Yeah,
I always wonder that, like, manual.
Yeah, so, yeah.
He's got the manual on that because he's just doing it so many times. Or then there's like the roast beef. Or the stale Gons invented the stale fish, or like you know,
is
like
it, I wonder that just looks like a fish bone-y thing. That, I don't know.
That's the thing is like back then it was just like you could just put names
whatever,
on everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And now
yeah,
it's kind of like,
cool.
That's
Mick Twist, almost.
Yeah, that's Miguel. Miguel. Yeah,
I mean that's cool.
That's definitely
that's
he can
tag.
Claim that.
Yeah,
he can claim
fuck yeah,
that.
Dude. And I like that. That's a great fucking name
right?
too.
And then Chrysler. I mean Chrysler.
Chrysler is a great one.
Christian
yeah,
Christ.
Soy. Yeah, we pulled it up earlier.
So, I mean, but yeah, and then but like that. That's one thing that was kind of cool about those. That's when I say back to like Instagram and stuff too. Now that's one thing that you can't ever take back. Is you can't. You could come up with some new trick, but you. There's name. It's just a variation of something that's been done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So back then was real crazy special times like that. You know what I mean? Like, it's like even in surfing, I don't really see the trick names changing that much. You know what I mean?
And it's
like,
real. There's nothing. I don't even besides like a bird. You know, Larry Bertelman.
Yeah.
They'd be like, oh, he did a little bird. If he throws the. But other than that, it's like off the lip.
Yeah.
Cut back floater
floaters
bear. I mean, it's like refrigerator microwave. They didn't care. Yeah, they didn't get too critical.
Yeah,
hand drag barrel. You know, they're fucking very mathematical, dude. What the hell?
Well, shit,
trip
man.
Down memory lane, real quick before we go though. I just to kind of cap it all up because we did like a dope little skateboarding trip through memory. You know, through memory lane from the 80s to now. What do you think might be the next little move for skateboarding? Is in the next, obviously we're going to the Olympics, but what do you maybe think the innovation will be in the next 5 to 10 years of skateboarding?
Well, I just think it's obviously there's so many available parks, like parks within actual recreational parks. Mm-hmm. Like, I just feel like it's not going anywhere. It's going to be, I mean, you got to realize how long has baseball been around?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Who what? 100 million?
Long time.
Million?
Right?
I don't
skateboarding
even know.
Has only been around since the late 60s, maybe. So it's still like we're talking about something that's evolving still and that will always be like still kind of like this like wheel that's just turning and it's getting bigger and bigger. And it's going to be like actually like recognizable. I don't want to call it a sport, but it's going to be like like a sport. It's going to be organized.
I think
so
I see what you're
what
saying.
That's what I think is going to happen.
You're saying like, look, everyone listening has a park near them. And eventually you're thinking almost like tennis courts.
Yeah, exactly.
There's just going to be a skate park at all of these.
Right. And then the street skating will always, be there.
Yeah.
And that's type of skateboarding. But I mean the actual like exception of from like a public persona of like, oh, what is skateboarding? Like they're going to get it. Like moms nowadays aren't going to be like our parents were where they're like, what is this thing you're doing? Like it's way more organized and it's going to be totally embraced by like the mainstream. And I feel like after this Olympics and all this, you know, stuff that's going on is just like embedding it more in people's heads that it's okay. It's just, it's not a crime.
Yeah.
You know,
it's not a skateboard. It's not a crime.
That's what I mean. Like,
and
that's
you touched on kind of something, what I love is even though skateboarding and things like skateboarding or surfing that we like fucking try to call them a sport. But for us, it's almost like, no, it's a lifestyle thing. Even though it is a sport now, it's going to the Olympics. I don't think football or baseball or anything else really has this where like you said, there will always be the street skateboarding.
Yeah.
No matter how popular or normal skateboarding becomes, there's always going to be a grimy undercore that's doing their own thing outside of the professional thing.
Just posting and, cool clips.
And they can make a living doing that. And surfing, nowadays it's gone back to, you know, you have the pros, you have the best of the best surfing, and they're making living. They're sponsored by Target and Nike and everything. But now that things crept back with style, where if you have a twin fin and you're just doing sick laybacks and your hair's long, you're smoking cigs on the beach and taking blowing
tokes.
You got a vape. You can put out clips. Totally. You can get video parts. So we're so lucky that the sports we love, like surfing and skate, you can always just be a ground level person and still it feels untouched to you.
For sure.
Yeah.
Like you can't go, there's no underground. No one plays baseball like the... baseball or you're not.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There's no dirty way to do it. Yeah, and maybe you got like street basketball. That's kind of a grimy cool.
You can there's definitely things, get that. Yeah. But, there's definitely like street basketball for sure.
You know, but I don't know. Yeah, but it's so lucky to have that street level gnarly
for sure. That'll never go away. And
never.
then like just, you know, like you used to get kicked out of spots skating all the time.
Yeah.
And I feel like even security guards at this point are like, we know what that is now. Like,
yeah,
they'll kick you out, but we'll give you one last chance. Like you got this one more shot.
Hold on, try again.
how many videos are online of like police officers uniform throwing kickflips? And they're like, "What's up, dude? All right, be good, kids." Right, and security guards,
I mean,
you're like,
"Yeah."
So
yeah.
It's on, dude. It's on.
Yeah, for sure.
That's cool. So before this, we talked about it, and you know, this is a thing that happens sometimes on our show. So you got a shit your pants story?
Yeah. I was. Okay, one time I was in Puerto Rico, right? And I went to a Subway sandwich spot, and I ate soup at a Subway. I don't know what I was thinking.
Oh, because it's just water, and they're making drink the water, whatever.
Right?
Yeah.
So then we were driving by this like government building, and there's this like spot I found where you can kind of roll in. It was about like a 4-foot drop at the end, and my friend Nick, we were like, oh, I think we got this, right? We're all up there kind of sizing it up. And then all of a sudden he like, okay. And he dropped and just made it first try. And I was like, I got his back. I got to do this. So then I rolled in behind him and I felt my, you know, a little bubble guts. And next thing you know, I landed and I went back seat and sat down, ass slammed. And just instantly just blew it out, right? And then next thing you know, I had a girl that was our team manager at the time. So I'm like, yeah, no, I'm good. I think I'm over it. I'm off it. Because I could have just probably, if I didn't do that, run up there and just made it. And I get
but
in
you've
the,
got a little.
Yeah, so I get in the van. I get in the van,
anybody.
Right? I get in the van, and all of a sudden it was like, I'm in the van, and I'm just like, oh my God, I shit my pants. And then I couldn't say anything because there was a girl involved. That was like, and it's like, if it was the boys, I would have been like, yeah. So I was all embarrassed. And then luckily, we go to this spot by the beach that had this bowl that was by the beach, by the water. I'm like, yo, sick, the ocean. Like, I'm gonna jump in the ocean. And everyone's like, why are you jumping in the ocean?
With my pants and everything.
So we had
do this splashy thing.
I had some shorts with me that were in my bag, and ended up just like going down there and like getting rid of the pants, taking a swim, and like. Luckily, no one really figured it out.
You but fucking snuck out,
dude.
The
I
shit,
couldn't.
Dude,
I was like, I was totally.
How
like,
old were you?
This was not too long ago. This is recent.
That's fucking rad. Was this last week, dude? What the fuck?
No, this was like a couple years ago, but I wasn't like a child. You
know?
Yeah. Like,
oh, hell yeah. This makes it even better. Fuck. The closer to today that it happens, the better the story.
Yeah, so, but if she wasn't there, it would have been a little easier to deal with.
Oh my God, that's awesome. You're the first person, I think, to just cleanly sneak away with a whole pants shit.
Yeah.
Successful no one in the car
no,
smelled
yeah, no,
it.
My friend Johnny was like, dude, it smells like shit here. And I was like agreeing with him. Like, yeah, dude, it smells
what
like shit.
What the fuck, bro?
The whole time, because I knew where we were going, that was by the ocean. So I was like, just like, kind of just holding it. But at the same time, it's like, but then I had, you know, the rest of the time, my stomach was still like,
messed up.
But I pulled it the rest of the day, but just that one, just whatever, the way I landed and
Didn't work out. You land hard, your board flies out in front of you, ass hits the ground.
Yeah, and it was...
and then you did the best possible thing.
It's like throwing a tomato on the ground.
Wow. You fucking nailed it because you got back into the car. You can't be the first person to say it smells like shit in here.
No.
You gotta wait till you're home.
I was actually like agreeing with him. Like, yeah, it does.
Yeah, that's perfect. Dude, it did someone
Did
cry.
You fart?
Everyone checked their shoes. Everyone checked their shoes. No dog shit?
You know what I feel like more people probably shit their pants doing? Snowboarding. Because when you get an spreader, you get a good cheek spreader up on the mountain, dude, you know that shit hurts.
Everyone knows that one. When you fall and one ass cheek stays put, but your body momentum just butt stretches. It's the most violating thing. The
cheek spreader.
Snowboarding's like the one that'll do
happen,
it.
It'll happen, dude. It'll happen. The pants will stick on the...
Anyone that's ever had that, if they're listening, that's done that snowboarding, knows exactly what the hell we're talking about.
Dude.
It's a fucking suit. You get it, dude.
That's rough.
Oh, my God. What a show, dude.
Dude, so we're running out of time, but before we get out of here, we have to ask you an important question.
Oh, my God.
Uh-oh.
So we got this thing we started this last summer tour.
Hey, can you guys go to our Instagram and just roll that footage on the Skate Gang video?
And we started this thing where some of us, we went and we all got these old school boards. We started riding around. We made a song and stuff, and it's called The Skate Gang. And we were wondering if maybe you would join our skate gang.
Do I have to get jumped in?
No, we're gonna tap you in.
We're gonna tap you in.
And we're
getting skate gang shirts made. Look at that, skate gang member. You're by far the best skater in the gang.
I need to get a shaped board now though, because that one's a little too popsicle stick.
Dude, that one's a little sticky. Can you guys get onto our Instagram and while we're getting out of here, play the little snippet? Here's the deal with our skate gang. We got no tricks, dude. This is strictly us cruising through show
we
venues.
We
go straight, dude. So you don't even have to tap your tail to the ground to be in this gang.
There it is, dude.
Feeling good. We just put out a little sneaky edit, dude. Where is it? Where's the skate gang? Didn't you put it out on the Feeling Good with Duddy page or no?
It doesn't look like you did. Yeah.
I don't see it.
Oh, you can
fuckers.
Go to my personal one. It's right there.
Yeah, dude, it's right on top.
Go to my personal. It's right there. But as we're doing that, thank you so much.
Let me get the outro going. Bam. Sure. Oh, by the way, where can people find you? What do you do? Like anything you need to plug or want to plug or you don't even care, huh?
No.
You're all fucking too nice. Skate. Oh, dude. Good. Just in case you want us to put together a board for you, this was on tour.
Oh, no, you're good.
Yeah, we this was a Providence, Rhode Island. So every venue we went to, pretty much on this tour, we just skateboarded through the venues. We hit up
skate gang.
Every what are these like fucking parking structures? Oh, we were all about it.
You know, where you guys need to go is that in Carson they have that thing that goes around
a big circle.
Yeah, but it's like it's made for like bikes.
Oh, nice.
But you just kind of cruise it.
Dude, we gotta do that'll be a skate gang adventure.
Everyone knows that what's up.
Let me know.
Yeah,
everyone
man.
Knows that what's
we
up.
We want to do a skate gang meetup where we just tell people we're gonna skate from here to here and they can join us. So we'll let you know. Omar has
song. I'm in on the next one.
Tell them what to do with subscribing and liking and all that good stuff.
Subscribe to all of our shit. Go to our Patreon for behind the scenes footage of this and every episode. Go buy some stuff on feelinggoodwithduddy.com and you're going to feel better than you do now.
Thanks to everybody over here at Reamp Studios.
Oh, that's right, Duddy. Thank you.
And always, as always, go to cutlassbrand.com and put in code feelinggood and you will get 20% off your order. Other than that, people, please go and give this podcast a rating and maybe even leave a review. We'd love to hear what you guys are thinking. And if you fucking hate it, give us a 1-star and tell us we fucking suck. I don't care. Be honest. Go give us a little rating and give us a little comment. Yeah. We appreciate it. Thank you guys again. Have a nice day.
Yeah.
Peace.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.